Welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show, where international author, speaker, teacher, and philosopher, Dr. John DeMartini shares with you exactly how to break through whatever is holding you back from your best life. Welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show. This is episode number 4, where today, John will be taking you through the 7 powerful parenting skills that he has identified through 45 plus years of traveling, teaching, and researching. Inside of this episode, you'll be learning valuable tools to understand human behavior and, in particular, the family dynamics. You'll also be able to learn and recognize and also appreciate the pairs of opposites that exist within the family dynamic. And by the end of this episode, you will also be able to set realistic expectations for your children and yourself. So if you are a parent or considering becoming a parent, pull out a pen, pull out a piece of paper, and get ready to take some notes. Enjoy the episode. For those of you who are brand new to Dr. DeMartini's material, he is a human behavioral specialist with studies in over 290 different disciplines, or ologies, as John calls them. And over the course of a 45 plus year career, John has gone from 17 and nearly dying in the back of a tent with strychnine poisoning to becoming a master of his life and then allowing others to see that same beauty in the world. This podcast is going to be an exploration of some of his theories and thoughts and inspirations, so you can draw from that and implement them into your own life. Each episode will feature a different series. They go for varying lengths depending on what the teachings are that John wants to share with you. And over the course of the next few weeks, months, and years, you're going to learn the intimate details of exactly how you can begin to master your life. If you would like to take the very first action from this podcast, John recommends to head over to drdemartini.com, where not only will you find all of John's materials in one central location, but you will be able to do the values determination process, which is a central pillar of all of John's teaching. So enjoy the episode, and we look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Dr. DeMartini, before we got on here, we had a conversation about the 7 powerful parenting strategies. And I want to go through what you said that they were. And then I want to spend some time unpacking each one of them to be able to help our listeners understand them a bit more and to answer many of the questions that they have.
Great. First of all, thank you for hosting and thank you for working through the glitches we're having here.
Yes.
And everybody who's on today, thank you for joining us wherever you are from around the world. We appreciate that. It's very inspiring to be able to talk on this topic. I don't have the opportunity every day to do this, so it's really lovely to be able to do that. So,
absolutely. Lisa,
I think they've sent you in some questions already, or they've been coming in. So I'll follow by what will help serve people the most.
Wonderful. So we're going to go through the 7 parenting strategies that that you've outlined. And I think that that's just a nice way to have the conversation. So you have identified that understanding how family members' values emerge or come into existence, that's pretty key. Understanding the family dynamic, identifying and honoring what's really important to each member of the family, learning the art of communication, setting realistic expectations on self and others, learning how our perceptions give rise to our emotions, and how by managing our perceptions, we can manage any emotion. And the 7th one that you've identified is learning how to see the hidden order. So we see everything that happens, whether through our actions or through actions of others, whether supportive or challenging, that it's actually all on the way. So we have a lot to discuss, Dr. DeMartini. So let's just start with the first one. So why is understanding how family members' values emerge or come into existence, why is that such an important skill or strategy to acquire as a parent?
Well, first, every individual, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of background or culture, has a unique set of priorities or values at every age. And these set of priorities or values are evolving, because when you're 1 to 10 years old or 1 to 5 years old, they're different than when you're 20 and 30 and 40 years old. So it's an evolving set of structures or set of values that a person has, and they emerge as a result of perceptions that we have, some inside the womb, some after we're born. And anything that is perceived as supportive, extremely supportive, or extremely challenging can make us create voids in our life that we want to fill. And it's these fulfillment of those voids that determine those values. Our voids determine our values. If we perceive that we don't have love around us or affection around us, we may seek affection. Therefore, there's a value on affection. If we perceive that our mommy or daddy wasn't there, even though there may be alternative moms and dads that surface, if we have a perception that our mom and dad is not there the way as much as we want, we may have a void and we'll be searching for a mommy or daddy figure. Or we may transfer that into other forms, blankies or toys or whatever that we identify with. So whatever we perceive is most missing becomes most valuable. And our judgments of our environment inside the womb and outside after birth are impacting these voids and are impacting, therefore, the direction and values that we have. Because the hierarchy of our values, the set of priorities that we live by, is determining every decision we make, even at a young age, and where we're going and what we're deciding to do in life. Every decision is based on what we believe will give us the greatest advantage over disadvantage, greatest reward over risk, no matter what the age. So I was working with a little boy, and his mother was saying that he keeps lying to her. And I said, if he's wanting to tell a lie, he's going to make a decision to say what he says based on what he thinks is going to give him the greatest advantage over disadvantage. So for some reason, he thinks that telling her the truth is going to get him scolded or more disadvantage than advantage. He's going to try to tell a lie because he's only got a 50-50 probability of being punished otherwise. But those voids will determine how we decide to do and how we perceive life. And so now you have a complexity of, based on the number of children that you have and the number of family members you have, you have a geometrically progressive complexity of dealing with all the different values and all the different situations. But ultimately, the values that they're living by at any moment, really need to be identified to maximize the parenting experience, because that's who they are. Whatever's highest on their value, their identity revolves around, and that's who they are, and that's what they want to be loved for and appreciated. And we all want to love and appreciate according to our own values. So it's a complexity, and I can't wait till we get into some of the other questions also, because it's going to be quite fun to look at the complexity of the family and the beauty and the hidden order that's actually there.
Absolutely. So I think that one of the key things that you just said that I think is really important for parents to really take note of is that understanding family members' values is, if we don't know that we can't honor and appreciate them for who they are.
Well, every whatever's highest on a child's or an adult's value list, the highest priority, the thing which I call the highest priority in life, the highest value in life, their identity revolves around it. I use the analogy. If you're a mother and you're 35 years old and you have 3 beautiful children under the age of 5, and your highest value is those children, if somebody asks you, who are you? You're going to say, I'm a mother. If you're the husband, let's say, and let's say your highest value is running a business as an entrepreneur, and somebody comes up to you and says, who are you? You'll probably say entrepreneur. Now, she will say mother, you may say entrepreneur. If you have a very high value on children, not business, you'll probably say I'm a father. Whatever your highest value is, your identity revolves, and each individual in the family, including young children, want to be loved for who they are according to their values. I remember that I had a child recently that had a love for video games, which is very common today in young boys particularly. And he was just totally focused on video games. He saw himself as a video master. So his identity at that stage of his life is video master. Where I have another friend who has a son who's a little bit close to the teenage mark, and it's soccer. Everything is revolving around soccer. And he perceives himself as a great soccer master. So whatever our highest value is our identity. And we all want to be loved and appreciated for what we value most in our life. And knowing what that is and keeping current with that is crucial to mastering the game of family dynamics and understand how to show our love and feel appreciated and loved in our family dynamic or in life in general. So knowing what the values are is crucial. That's a very component. That's why we have on my website a value determination process to assist people in that, because that's the foundation of all human behavior and the cornerstone of a relationship communication.
Wonderful. Well, let's just move right into then understanding the family dynamic. So why is understanding the family dynamic also such an important part of parenting?
Well, what they found let's say we have the hierarchy of values that we hold individually. If we have people that come along and support those values, we tend to open up to them, become in a sense subordinate to them and kind of put them on a pedestal. I think everybody here has been infatuated with somebody in their life. They could be infatuated with their children. They could be infatuated with a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If you're highly infatuated, you tend to minimize yourself and put them up on a pedestal. And in the process of doing it, you'll even sacrifice what's most important to you, what's highest on your value, to be with them. And you'll tend to inject their values into your life and subordinate to them for fear of losing them because you're infatuated with them. On the other side of the coin, there are people that also challenge our life and challenge our values, and we tend to put them in the pit. And now we tend to go back and exaggerate ourselves, minimize them, and tend to project our values onto them. And we'll try to get our values onto them and try to get them to live in our values. So when we're minimizing ourselves and exaggerating others and infatuated with them, we'll tend to sacrifice and try to sacrifice us for them. And when we exaggerate ourselves and minimize others, we'll tend to sacrifice them for us. We'll try to live in other people's values. We'll try to have other people live in our values. Now, people can't live in our values, and we're not going to live in their values very long. That's like a cat trying to, you know, be a great fish, or a fish trying to be a great cat. Doesn't work. But what happens is, if we infatuate, we tend to be juvenile. If we resent, we tend to get precociously independent. If we get both of them, we tend to grow at the ideal rate. So a family dynamic must have a balance of support and challenge, cooperation, competition, kind of a build and destroy mechanism. And we have this fantasy that it's always going to be peaceful, it's always going to be pleasure, always going to be happy. But the reality is, you got people with different sets of values that are supporting and challenging each other to keep a dynamic to maximize growth. The purpose of a family dynamic, the purpose of marriage, is to help us become authentic. And when we live by our highest values, we are able to embrace both sides of our own nature and both sides of other people's nature. We're more objective, we're more resilient and adaptable. And so the family dynamic is designed to get both support and challenge. You might say agreements and disagreements, cooperation, competition, to get a balance to make sure that we're authentic and so we grow maximum. And so in the family dynamic, you're going to find complementary opposite value systems. I have a lovely sister named Lynn. She definitely has different values than I do. We love each other, no doubt about that. But she definitely has different objectives than I do. She has a little less desire to travel as much as I do, although I'm probably fanatical about it. But we have different complementary opposites, and that's what makes us having a loving dynamic. The family itself needs complementary opposites. When I ask people in the seminar, the breakthrough experience particularly, how many of you have like a brother and sister that's kind of like your opposite? Almost all the hands go up. And in the same thing, and you find out in your marriage partner, you'll find out that the husband and wife have complementary opposite behaviors. Just like in the genetic code, the two genes that come together from the mother and the father are complementary opposite in position. They're literally opposites. And so they're necessary to have that. When we're infatuated with people, we tend to see similarities. When we're resentful to people, we tend to see differences. But we need both similars and differences to grow. So the balance of the family is to make sure you get similarities and differences, because in similarities, you stagnate, and in differences, you innovate. And you need both of those to keep everybody on their toes, growing and contributing. And what's interesting, when you get married, you very commonly have people that you marry that have completely complementary opposite values. So the things that are important to you are lower on their values. And so that means you'll do things that aren't really important to them, and they'll do things that aren't important to you. And that's what makes the team essential for a growing family dynamic. So to summarize that, The family needs a beautiful bouquet of complement opposite value systems to support and challenge each other to maximize the growth. And sometimes our animal nature is to avoid pain and seek pleasure. We want a relationship, or we want a family that's always peaceful, always getting along, but it's not designed that way, because if it did, we would stagnate, we wouldn't grow, we wouldn't be individualized, we wouldn't have our contributions. You need a combination of the support and the challenge. You might have the agreements and disagreements. And when I ask people in the breakthrough experience, how many of you have that? They go, yeah, but some of them fantasize they want one side. And it's the fantasies of wanting a one-sided game in the family dynamic that causes a lot of angers and a lot of what I call the ABCDFGHs of negativity, which is anger and aggression, blame and feelings of betrayal, criticism and challenge, despair and depression, the desire to exit and escape, frustration and futility, the other four-letter word, and grief and grouchiness, and also hatred and hurt. These ABCDFGHs of negativity are a byproduct of expecting the family to be one-sided, which is actually stagnant. You need innovation. In a company, the same thing occurs. In society, the complementary opposites occur. You have people pro and con, and you need both in there. And the way the world works is it needs this complementation of opposites. It's known in sociology. It's even in your own body, you have these complementation of opposites in our genes, in our development, in our osteoplasticity, our neuroplasticity. Every build and destroy is constantly necessary for adaptation, resiliency, to deal with the changes in society. So our family dynamics have to be understood and appreciated from this complementations of opposites and a balance of similars and differences. And if you do that and understand that people are going to live according to their values, not yours, and you're not to live in their values, they're not to live in yours. But what I'm about to show in the upcoming mm-hmm. principles here is how to communicate in those values, not fixing them, not changing them, not sacrificing for them, not sacrificing them for you, but how to communicate with those. This is the key in the family dynamic.
Dr. DeMartini, I'm imagining being a parent listening to this and hearing this for the first time going, what about discipline? And wait a second, what if they're doing something that I don't like? And so yes, for those of you that have that question and you're listening, we will be getting to that. So hold on, we're gonna unpack a couple more things, but we are definitely getting to that question, because out of all the questions that came in, that was the number one question. How do I discipline? How do I handle all these differences, basically?
I'd like to address a bit of that now. We'll do some more as we go along. If you stop, I had fun with that. I was teaching in New Zealand just a few days ago, 2 days ago, actually, and we addressed that issue on parenting. First of all, when you have a set of values, and when anybody does something that challenges the heck out of your values, you tend to want to become self-righteous, autocratic, and you want to project your values onto them. And you want to make them support your values, because that's our animal nature. I want support without challenge. I want peace without war, kind of thing. But the reality is that they're going to challenge your values, and you're going to tax the rules when they challenge it. You're going to set more rules up and regulations up, and you're going to get real rigid about it. And then when the kids do things that support your values, or somebody comes along and supports your values, you lax the rules. Our governments do this every market cycle. Every time the business and economics get well, they start laxing all the rules and forget the regulations. And then all of a sudden they get in trouble, and then they end up taxing all the rules and getting really rigid on the rules. And it goes back and forth. The same thing in relationships. So if all of a sudden you come home, imagine if you had a daughter come home, this is maybe a teenager, but if you had a daughter come home and says, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I just got honor roll, and I just got awarded the prom queen, and I just got awarded as the number one most popular student, and I got to be president of the student body, and I got a scholarship at Yale, and it looks like I've started to save my money like you taught me, and I've got me a new job, and I'm working part-time and helping pay for school. Can I borrow the car?" most likely, because they're saying all the things that support your values, you'd be relaxed, and you go, take the car, enjoy the car, thank you, such a good girl. Mm-hmm. But if she came home and she said, Dad, I've dropped out of school, I've been doing drugs, I've been using your credit card that I've been stealing money from, I think I'm pregnant, I don't know who it is, I was at a big party with a bunch of guys, can I borrow the car? She's going to challenge your values, And you're probably going to get rigid and set off these rules and regulations. So every child is going to support and challenge, and they're going to find out where they are relative to your response. And they're going to use whatever parent they can to leverage getting what they want in life. So if they think that, oh, if I talk to mommy, I'll get what I want, but I better not talk to daddy about this one. But over here, I'll talk to daddy on this issue because that's going to support his values and not mom on this one. They're going to figure out how to waver themselves through that and navigate through there and to get what they want. We all do that. So when it comes to discipline, there are two things you might want to consider. Number one is if you're expecting them to live in your values and not theirs, you're going to end up suppressing their individuality and that unfulfillment. Whenever they're fulfilling their highest values, not their impulses of their amygdala, but their highest values, their executive center comes online and they become more engaged and empowered. That's why some of the children that have been helped fulfill their highest values end up becoming great leaders in their fields, like Terrence Tao, like Jacob Barnett and others. But if all of a sudden you're suppressing it and you're trying to get them to fit into your box and you're doing this and they can't live because they depend on you, they can't live doing what they want. When they're unfulfilled, they go into their amygdala and you're actually breeding an impulsive behavior in them that's ungoverned. And they're more likely to be drugs, more likely to eat sugar, more likely to be a consumer, more likely to get out of control, more likely to want to escape because of the way it's being communicated. So it's not about autocratically putting in rules and regulations. It's just like learning the art of communicating what you know will be valuable to your children in terms of their values, which is an ongoing evolving structure. So you have to be current and present with the children to see what they're now inspired by at this time. And then communicating what you want in terms of them and giving them the value in their values like you would if you were selling somebody in sales. You can't just autocratically go up to somebody and say, you need my product. You need to care enough to find out the needs of the person and their values and communicate what you want, a product, service, or idea in terms of that. As a mother and father, you're selling ideas. You're selling procedures and daily routines to the children. If you don't communicate respectfully in their values, the children are going to fight it. And if you force them autocratically to do it, you pay the price. Because the unfulfillment they have puts them into the amygdala and they're going to want to retaliate back. And you're then going to put a label on them, attention deficit, defiant disorders, all kind of disordered labels on them, thinking there's something wrong with them when it's just the communication. And caring enough about what their values are and knowing how to have a balance of support and challenge liberates you from a lot of chaos in the family dynamic. So yes, there's going to be guidelines. Yes, there's going to be rules that they'd be, but they can't just be autocratically projected. They need to be communicated in a way where these children understand the purpose of it in their values. If they do, they'll comply and they'll get what they want because they're trying to get what they want. Nobody's committed to you. They're committed to the fulfillment of their values. If you understand that, you go farther. The salesperson's not committed to a company. The person at work is not committed to working in a company. They're working to fulfill that they value most. Children are no different.
Dr. DeMartini, I think that phrase is actually worth repeating for parents to really take notes on, that the kids are not committed to them. Will you repeat that one more time?
I say this in my seminar, The Breakthrough Experience, regularly. I tell people, I said, you know, when you're married, you think, okay, I'm standing at the wedding marriage ceremony, and I want commitment from you. You have to commit to me. Here's the document. Here's the thing. And people, if they're ignorant enough to buy into that, vulnerable, they think, well, now I need that commitment. And then you can't break that law there that you did. And then otherwise I feel insecure. But the reality is they're committed to the fulfillment of their own highest values. And that's an evolving structure. And if you're in a relationship with somebody, marriage or kids, you are in a moving target of trying to find out what that value is, those highest values, and the art of communicating and giving them more value than alternative people. You know, if you're not, anything you're not willing to do for your mate to fulfill their highest values, you're going to have to be willing to delegate. Somebody else is going to come in that equation. That's why affairs come up in 50% of the marriages. So what happens is, because they're not realizing the person's not committed to you, committed to the fulfillment of their values, and they're with you because they believe that there's going to be more advantage and disadvantage being with you to help them fulfill that. And they believe that you're not too over-supportive where you're boring and not too over-challenging where you're burning them out. you're somewhere in that zone where they can tolerate that and fulfill what they want by being with you. But if they realize, if you have the realization that they're committed to their values and not yours, that's a huge breakthrough. Because many people think, well, you're supposed to be living in my values and you're supposed to be this way and you're trying to fix and change them. Now let's translate to kids. What do you think a kid feels like if they're trying to be, have to be somebody they're not? They want to be loved and appreciated for who they are. And as that's evolving, that continually being loved. And so we're all striving for that. And if we're not, if we feel we have to sacrifice ourselves to be with somebody else, we suppress ourselves. The unfulfillment goes into the amygdala. We pay a price for that. And then we get trained into being a sheep instead of a shepherd. And we're never going to stand up and be somebody that makes the difference in the world. We'll be sitting there as a drone, living under some sort of a herd instinct instead of actually being an individual. And what's interesting is the parents really want individual children, particularly when they get up in age, when they want them to get out of the house and get in. And then they've undermined that by their suppression in the early life instead of communication.
So I can imagine as a listener right now, some of the parents might be thinking, well, how do I identify my children's values? You know, my child may be 2 years old or 8 years old or 20 years old. Could you offer some of our listeners just a couple of tips on how they might start to identify the values of their children?
Yes. It depends on the age. When they're literally in a little bassinet and you got mobiles sitting above them, you'll see them reach for certain things and avoid other things. What they're searching for and what they want to engage in and put in their mouth, or they want to look at visually, or they want to touch, or they want to play with. These are things that are engaging them. This is something that's valuable to them. If you pay close attention to what they are naturally seeking, you get an idea of what they value. When they get a little older and they can speak, they can give you feedback. But I look at what they fill their space with, because I was flying on a plane, I think it was to Australia. And I got up, I'd been on my computer and I just took a break and I went up to the front to the gents room. And I was standing in line and I noticed there was a gentleman and his 11-year-old daughter sitting in the very first seat up in the first class area. And she had a dozen horses of all different sizes, rubber horses, sitting on the tray. So her little food tray on the flight was up and she had all these horses there, all arranged by size. And I looked at that and I thought, okay, she had 11 to 12 horses sitting here, all different sizes. She obviously has a value on horses or she wouldn't be carrying those with her. So she carries in her space that way. So I spoke up and I said, you love horses? And she goes, yeah. I said, just out of curiosity, I said to the father, I said, is her room filled with pictures of horses and horses everywhere and horse books and things? She goes, that's all she ever does. It's all about horses. I said, great. And does she spend her time every moment she has on her horses? Yeah, because that's another value determinant. What do they spend their time on? The next thing is, what energizes them, livens them up, and makes their eyes dilate? Is it pictures of horses and getting to meet a real horse and actually interact with horses? He said that's all she wants to do. She wants to play with the horses all the time and ride the horses. She's really good at it. And I said, and when she gets money, does she buy things around horses? She says that's all she'll buy. More rubber toys that are horses or books about horses, or she'll want to go and see the horses or ride the horses. I said, and what is she most organized? Her room is filled with organized horses. What is she most disciplined in? Time spent with the horses. She's there. She takes care of the horses when she's with her actual horses. What is it she thinks about? What does she visualize? What is it she talk about inside herself about most? Horses. What does she talk to other people about most? Horses. What is she inspired by? Horses. What does she have as goals? Riding horses, being with the horses. What does she want to learn about most? Horses. I'd say it's pretty obvious that her highest value is horses. It's like, duh. And so if we miss that and we say, okay, put these horses now away, you stop doing it. You're not going to get to play with the horses until you do this. And you start suppressing the horses in her, you're going to end up creating a resistant, defiant, frustrated, unfulfilled, unappreciated child that's going to create symptoms that you think are going to label instead of trying to figure out, okay, she now needs to take a class in mathematics, how to count and things. So you want to link how counting and help her with horses. How many horses do you have? If you took this and you gave five to a friend, how many would you have? And if all of a sudden you had twice as many horses, how many would you have? You know, you can teach them all the things in school, but you now got to relate it to what is most valuable to them. And if you do, they're engaged, they're inspired, they'll excel. I learned from Marilyn Wilhelm, who taught kids that way by their values, how to bring out their genius. And so that's the same thing. If you're honoring what they value, they're going to do amazing things. But if you suppress it, they're going to end up feeling unfulfilled. They're going to be retaliant. They're going to give you feedback. Just like you, if somebody tried to suppress what was valuable to you, you do the same thing. Pardon me for going off on this tangent, but this is too good to pass up. I was speaking in Connecticut many years ago, and I had this lady in the front row. There's 200 people there. They're all teachers, principals, counselors, specialists with children and education. And so this lady puts her hand up, and she says, what do you do when you have an unengaged, unmotivated, lazy kid that doesn't want to learn and that is got attention deficit and hyper and da, 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 da. And I looked and I smiled. And then she was right in the front row and there was a 12-year-old boy right next to her. I said, is this the person you're talking about? She says, yes. And I said, and the lady next to, she was kind of proudly going, I'm the one that diagnosed to put all these labels on him. So she was the counselor. And I said to the mother, I said, there's no such thing as a child like that. Well, boy, that ruffled the feather of the counselor big time because she was famous for her diagnosis now. And the mother wanted these labels so they could treat something, you know, instead of what about the child here? And I said, there's no such thing as a child with all those labels. Let me explain some. Your child loves learning and is fully engaged in what is meaningful to the child. So I turned to the child, the 12-year-old boy, and I said, what is it you love learning about? And you can spend hours and hours and hours doing it. He goes, video ice hockey. I said, do you love that? He goes, I love it. Do you play it every hour of the day you get a chance to do it? Yep. And do you know anything about video ice hockey? He says, I sure do. I said, do you know all the video, the ice hockey players that are famous? Oh, yeah. I said, tell us the names of them. He rattled off about 15 names that are famous ice hockey players. I said, you know what uniforms they have and what numbers they have and what where they play? Yeah. He says, I even know some of the girlfriends' names. I said, what else do you know about? He says, I know how many fouls they've done. I know how many goals they've made. I know what sticks, what company they use, the materials they use, the equipment. And I said to his mother, I said, can you see he doesn't have a learning problem? He loves learning. He just loves learning what's important to him. And he can't see how the classes he's taken in school, it helping him get that, what he wants. And I said, so I turned to the boy and I said, what is it? Tell me how the class, what classes you're taking? He says, math. What other classes you taking? I'm taking some things on the education process, learning process, and reading and spelling and things. I said, well, how is math going to help you with this? He goes, I don't know. Well, if you can't see how your class is going to help you do what's important to you, you're not going to engage. You're going to be disengaged in school. You're going to be unfulfilled, frustrated, having to go to school, being told what to do, suppressed, not appreciate who you are, you're going to feel like, and you're going to want to disengage, go into the amygdala, you're going to want to escape, you're going to want to go and do something else that gives you pleasure because you're unengaged. I said, I got a question. When you play ice hockey, you play it on a rink, don't you? Yeah. Is that a rectangle? Yeah. Is a rectangle two squares? Yeah. And in the corner of those, is there a semicircles that make a circle? Yeah. Is that math? Isn't two squares and rectangle and circles math? Yeah. And when you shoot a little thing, don't you have an angle on the hockey stick? Yeah. And isn't that a mathematics, trigonometry? Yeah. And don't you shoot a little puck and that round and that's oval and that's mathematics, that's geometry and things? Because the kid understood it. And I made him link all these different relationships. And when you're counting fouls, those, isn't that a ratio of mathematics and the numbers that you're doing? Aren't the numbers on the back how you know who it is? And aren't a number of plays and goals they do, don't you keep record of those? Aren't those math? Yeah, and aren't those competitive math to other people? Yeah. Is there and when you keep goals, don't you do it and you hit it in a little square rectangle down to the net and the net is spirals? I said, there's nothing here that's not. And then the temperature of the ice, a certain temperature, otherwise it turns to ice and water? He goes, yeah. It's every one of those things are mathematical. He goes, yeah. I said, can you see that if you know more and more about math, you can be greater and greater at your ice hockey? He goes, yeah. He turned to his mom and he said, Mom, can you get me some of those books on math and how it relates to ice hockey? And the mom just looked at me and the counselor looked at me and she was now starting to take notes. I said, this child has no shortage of desires to learn. He just wants to learn what's inspiring to him. And you have not cared enough to communicate what you value and what you think is important as a teacher and as a parent in terms of the child's values. If you do, the child's engaged and inspired. He doesn't get labeled. He doesn't need medication. He doesn't need drugs. He doesn't need to, you know, these false rules on him. He's inspired. He's engaged. His amygdala is shut down and is engaged in his executive center, and he wakes up his great leadership in the area that he's inspired by. And that's what this child can do at a young age. And I've seen children. I used to think, I was studying Piaget and all these different child development scales, and I'm convinced now that some of that is just based on average uninspired children. Because when I see children that are really engaged at a very young age, they do extraordinary things, and they already know what their purpose and focus is at very young ages, and they get very stable at it. So I have a feeling that part of the challenges we have in children are the way we're communicating, not in their values and not respecting them as human beings. We used to think that children are blank slates, right? They're born with a tabula rasa, empty, and we have to feed them their values and give them all their rules and regulations. This is now proven to be erroneous and outdated. From early stages of development, they're already learning how to process and analyze things, make decisions. They know how to hear and sound and music, and they know when parents are wanting them and not wanting them and how to manipulate kids. Very young, even before they're born, they're already learning some of this. And then as they get older, they're learning these mechanisms. I think we need to treat them as young geniuses from the very beginning instead of see them as these empty kids that we have to get in our values. Because otherwise, they may end up just like us, and we may not even be fulfilled and projecting onto them what we say, don't do what we do what we tell you to do. And I see that very commonly. Pardon me for
the moment. I would love to take what you just shared, because one of the next big questions was, how do I get my child to do the chores and help out around the house and to do these different activities that as a parent, I think that they should be doing? So can you speak to that based off of what you're sharing right now?
Yeah. When I'm in the Breakthrough Experience, the program I've done 1,031 times around the world, I have people come in there and I hear them in their language saying, I can't stay disciplined, I'm not focused, what's wrong with me? I should be doing this. I ought to be doing this. I have to do this. I need to do this. I want to do this. Instead of, this is what I love to do, and this is what I choose to do. And they're living with what I call imperatives, which are duties and responsibilities from a collective society or a mother or a father or a preacher or a teacher or some herd mentality or tradition or convention. I just got off a consult just an hour ago on somebody who's probably in his 40s, still living in parental and community, I guess you could say, belief systems that are not even true. They're just belief systems. But he's living in these shoulds and ought tos. And what that does is it guarantees that there'll be an internal conflict in the child if they're having.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at the Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
To live in the shoulds and ought tos of what the parents are saying. If you're an autocrat telling some person that you're exploiting how to live, this is what you have to do, otherwise punishment reward systems. That's the most primitive form of communication. That's if you have a company that's an industrial company and you have people that are uneducated with unspecialtied things, and you have an autocrat person that's telling people with poor conditions, punishment if you don't do it, slavery if you do kind of thing, that's the lowest level of communication. The highest is we have an educated person that's living fully by their own values, that's engaged, that you can communicate, you can delegate, and they take care of things, and you're liberated. That same principle works in a family. If you find out what the child is really inspired by, they don't go around saying, I should do this. They go around, this is what I love doing. This is what I'm inspired by. This is what I choose to do in my life. So caring enough to find out what that is, and then caring enough to take the things you know will help the child function in society, not as an absolute dictatorial, if you don't, you're going to be this, your punishment kind of thing, but to communicate how doing that will help them in their values and to understand the consequences, pros and cons of those in their values will go farther. Because when it's their decision in their own values, they do it without having to be forced to do it and told to do it. And instead of having an imperative, I should be doing it, I ought to be doing it, I'm supposed to be doing it, they go, I do it because I'm winning out of it. I love to do it. And so if you have a child that has a chore, if the child can't see how the child's going to win out of it in their own values, they're going to be forced to doing it. And you're going to have to remind them and motivate them. See, anytime you're doing something low on your values, you have to be motivated extrinsically with punishment rewards to get them to do it. That's the least effective, more bureaucratic, autocratic outcome. And eventually that drives the kids eventually batty and they end up going to drugs and stuff to escape. But if you go to them and find out, you have the responsibility as a parent to think, how is doing the activities that I want going to help them in what they value, their video games? How's it going to help them? If you as a parent took the time and asked this question, how specifically is the activities and chores and the actions that I want them to do, their schooling, their education, their classes, their studies, their homework, whatever, how's it going to help them fulfill what's valuable to them? How's it going to help them get that done? You'd be surprised how they'll get engaged. But if you can't see it and they can't see it, you're forced back into punishment reward systems, the dictator component. And then what happens is you suppress what they do that's unfulfilling. They don't feel that they're in the executive center. They're down in the amygdala. And then they're going to want sugar. They're going to want sweets. They're going to want hedonism. They're going to want escapism. They're going to want to watch TV to escape. They're going to want to be watch a football game instead of playing football. They're going to want to be a spectator and not engage. And then you pay the price of that. And so all those are symptoms to get you to master the skill to communicate. And what's interesting is we've had more classes in business on how to communicate in sales with people than we had how to communicate the same ideas to our own children.
So we just looked at how to identify and honor what's important to each family member. We got into how do you begin to learn the art of communicating, being able to identify what's in the child's values and link whatever you want them to do to that so it feels meaningful. Can you talk a little bit about why setting realistic expectations on the self as a parent and then also on our children is actually another really important part of parenting? Why is the realistic expectations so key?
Well, if I went up to you, or not you, but if I went up to whoever is listening, let's imagine I'm addressing you right now on this webinar, and I went to you and I said, you are always nice. You're never mean. You're always kind. You're never cruel. You're always positive. You're never negative. You're always peaceful, never wrathful. Always generous, never stingy. You're always considerate, never inconsiderate. I said, that's how I see you. And you would immediately have your bullshit meter go off and go, I don't think so. That's not exactly me. And then if I turned to you and I said, you're always mean. You're never kind, nice. You're always cruel. You're never kind. You're always stingy. You're never generous. You're always wrathful, never peaceful. You're always negative. You're never positive. You're always inconsiderate. You never considerate. If I said that to you, your bullshit meter would go off and go, that's not true either. But if I said to you, sometimes you're nice, sometimes you're mean, sometimes you're kind, sometimes you're cruel, sometimes you're positive, sometimes you're negative, sometimes you're generous, sometimes you're stingy, sometimes you're thoughtful, sometimes thoughtless, sometimes peaceful, sometimes wrathful, you'd immediately go, yep, that's me. I have a little of both. So it's unrealistic to expect a human being with a variety of people interacting to be one-sided unless you can master the communication of communicating in their values. Because if you communicate in their values, they're going to be nice. If you go against their values, they're going to be mean. If I go up to the airline and I'm checking in and they said, oh, Dr. DeGene, we've upgraded you to first class and you've got extra points and you got the club lounge and the premier club lounge and whatever you want for food, we'll organize it. I'll say, thank you. I'm a nice person. I'm a pussycat. But if they say, well, sorry, Dr. DeMartini, somehow we've overbooked the plane. You've missed your flight because we've overbooked. And even though you got a first class ticket, even though you got 18 million miles on flight miles, you'll have to go in economy and you'll have to go tomorrow. Well, I'm probably not going to go, Om, peace, joy. I'm probably going to go, can I speak to your supervisor? And I'll probably bring out the other side of me in order to get what I want. So when people are getting what they want, they can be nice. When they don't get what they want, they can be mean. So to expect somebody to be one-sided is delusional. To expect somebody to always live in your values and not their own is delusional, because they're making decisions based on their own. So caring enough to know what their values are, in my breakthrough experience and also my master plan program, I teach people first, what is the values of the people that you're interacting with most, your children or your spouse, and because that's who they are. That's who they want to be loved for that. If you don't know what that is, you're automatically going to have an alternating monologue and no dialogue. You have to have that knowledge to know what to communicate and what to expect. If you expected me to be cooking and expected me to do driving, you're probably going to be let down and feel betrayed and be angry and aggressive towards me because I'm not going to do it. I'm going to delegate that. But if you expected me to research and teach, man, I'm not going to let you down. And if you had that expectation on me, you can trust me to do it. You can only trust somebody to fulfill what their highest value is. That's it. To expect them to do anything else is just delusional. So in a relationship, in the family dynamic, if each of the family members knows the values of each of the other family members, they're more likely to set realistic expectations. If they can master the skill of when they're stopping and communicating with them, think about what is valuable to them and try to communicate in that value, they have a lot more fluency in the relationship, more likely to have a dialogue and engage. So that's something that's a skill that can be trained. But if you're not taking the time to do it, you're going to expect to feel betrayed and you can feel that you can't trust somebody because you're expecting and projecting onto people. They are only going to live according to their values, not yours, unless what you have to offer them is going to help them fulfill their values. And that's where communication and selling come in. Selling and caring are the same thing. Care enough about somebody to communicate what you feel is important in terms of what they feel is important. And amazing things. If you help other people get what they want to get in life, you get what you want to get in life. But you can't expect somebody to be always one-sided. You can't expect somebody to live outside their values. You can't expect people to live in your values. You can't expect people to be only up, never down, or always kind, never cruel. These are delusions.
Parents often hold themselves up for similar reasons, having unrealistic expectations on themselves. Can you speak to that for a minute?
Oh, yes. I see that. I just got through dealing with that an hour ago. I have people that basically have false expectations on themselves to live outside their values. And people beat themselves up. I ask people in Breakthrough, the Breakthrough Experience and other programs that I do to help people transform their life and break through barriers and fulfill what they want in life. And that program, I ask people, how many of you want to be financially independent? Every hand goes up. I said, how many of you are? Well, a lot of hands go down, most of them. And I go, well, less than 1% of the people fulfill their lives financially and have financial independence. So that means that most people beat themselves up. And they have negative self-talk about their finances and they're angry at themselves because they keep blowing it and they can't keep getting ahead. And I explained to them that unless they truly value buying assets that appreciate in value more than immediate gratifying consumables that depreciate in value, they're not going to have financial independence. So their hierarchy of values dictates their financial destiny. So if you know what your values are and you expect yourself to live according to your values, you won't beat yourself up with negative thinking all the time. But you're designed to, when you aren't putting realistic expectation in yourself, you're designed to beat yourself up. You're designed to have negative self-talk. That's not a mistake. That's a normal biological response to having a false, unrealistic fantasy expectation to live outside your values and to live one-sided, to live always up, never down, always positive, never negative. I had a person that came into Denver, actually in Colorado, that was very, very depressed, suicidal. And he had an expectation. He had gone to another seminar that teaches all positive thinking and always be peaceful and happy all the time. And he was trying to live that way and he couldn't do it. And he was beating himself up and he was suicidal because his life wasn't matching this fantasy. And I felt that it was unrealistic who had taught him that. You know, I confront some of the stuff that's being taught out there that's teaching people to be one-sided because they can't. And so people then set up unrealistic expectations and he was suicidal because he was expecting to be always up, always positive, always kind, always this, always one-sided. And that's not possible. It's unrealistic. So setting realistic expectations as a parent on children and on yourself and on your spouse all pay off.
That feeds into number six, which is about learning how to manage our perceptions and manage our emotions. So I'd love for you to speak to that. I know for me, the breakthrough experience is really what started my journey in being able to learn how to master this, and was probably the turning point for me as a parent in learning how to really step into feeling like an empowered parent. So I would love for you to share, why is it so important for us as parents to learn how to manage our perceptions and emotions?
Well, Warren Buffett said, until you can manage your emotions, don't expect to manage money. The 48 Laws of Power, Green said, until you can manage emotions, don't expect to manage your power. In relationships, until you can manage your emotions, don't expect to have a fulfilling relationship. In health, until you can manage your emotions, don't expect to have a well body. Every area of our life is impacted. And if we are not in our executive center, where we have self-governance over our primitive emotions, our primitive emotions, which are different, they're no different than the animal emotions, are going to rule our life. The difference between ourselves and the animals, we all have pride and shame and grief and these things that the animals have. The difference is we have meaning. Human beings can find meaning in things and be inspired by something and have an executive function of strategically planning and foresighting and planning and setting goals and achieving those that are meaningful and fulfilling in life. And if not, we go down into our amygdala, which is the same brain areas that all the animals have, and we tend to go and avoid pain and seek pleasure. And so we look hedonistically for a pleasureful life, happy life all the time, and then we end up misery because we're setting an unrealistic expectation. When you fill your day with challenges that inspire you, it doesn't fill up with challenges that don't. When you're pursuing things that are meaningful and inspiring to you, you don't have so much of the volatilities of the emotions. So that's why the breakthrough experience is so important to people, to help people break through the fantasies that they're striving for and to set prioritized goals according to their own values, so they're authentic, so they fulfill their life and make the difference and stand out, not always fit in. Because fitting in is guaranteed to squash your own uniqueness and your own empowerment, your own love of your life. So when people are basically having infatuations, in the breakthrough experience, I show them how to identify what they infatuate with, because what that really means is that they're identifying a trait, some action or inaction in another person that they are admiring, that they're too humble to admit inside themselves that they have. They see it in them, but they don't see it in them. And they're disowning it. And you might say minimizing themselves and exaggerating them instead of realizing that what they see in them is inside themselves. And the thing that they see has downsides. Every trait has pros and cons. There are no positive or negative traits, really. They're just traits. And so what happens is if you have this idea that it's all positive and that you don't have it, you're going to infatuate somebody. And whatever you infatuate with will occupy space and time in your mind and run you and distract you. We've all been infatuated and been distracted from what's really important to us and get distracted by an infatuation. We also have resentments. And that's when we're too proud to admit what we see in those people inside us. And we're also thinking there's a negative without a positive. We're not seeing the upsides to it. A real wise person sees both sides to every event and uses both sides to our advantage. See, William James, the father of modern psychology, said that the greatest discovery of his generation is that human beings can alter lives by altering perceptions and attitudes of mind. In the breakthrough experience, I train people on the science how to take no matter what happens in your life and turn it into a balanced position where you now can say thank you and use it as fuel to do something extraordinary with your life. So you're not distracted by the outer world. You're governed from the inner world. I said on the movie The Secret, when the voice and the vision on the inside is louder and more profound than all opinions on the outside, you begin to master your life. Well, the breakthrough experience, I show people how to take no matter what happens in their life, things that other people have done, or even things that they've judged in themselves, and transform the perceptions of that in such a way where you're poised and you're present, you're purposeful, you're prioritized. And in that state, you're more likely to care and respect other people and yourself. And you'll be able to communicate, take the moment to communicate what's inspiring to you in terms of what's inspiring to them. So I can't emphasize how important it is to master the skill of asking questions, because the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. In the breakthrough experience, I teach you the questions to help see the other side. Pardon me for this last tangent. When you're infatuated with somebody, you're conscious of the positives, you're unconscious of the negatives. But when you get with that person over a period of the next 6 months, you're going to discover some of those negatives. And you were unconscious of those. And if you're resentful to somebody, you're conscious of the negatives, you're unconscious of the positives. Again, you're blind to half of what's there. And eventually, over time, you're going to discover the benefit side. So why have the wisdom of the ages with the aging process? Why not have the wisdom of the ages without it by doing the breakthrough experience and actually owning both sides, seeing both sides, being poised and centered and not emotionally reacting, but creatively acting based on what inspires you objectively by your highest value? That's where you empower. That's what the whole purpose of the mastery of the game is, to learn how to live congruently according to your own values and live by priority and go after something inspiring in your life. And that's when you love yourself. And when you love yourself, it's easier to love other people.
Easier to love all your family members.
The family, you know, I'm convinced that I'm going to go off on a tangent. I don't know if I have the time for this, but I got to say this. When you're making love and you're having, you're actually procreate and conceive a child, when you do, believe it or not, you have what is called epigenetic methyl and acetyl tags by your autonomic nervous system response to your perception at the time you're making love, tag the genetic code and the histones, the proteins around the genes, and are literally programming the child to express traits you are blind to in the mate to make sure you face those traits that you need to love those traits in the children, because you're going to learn to love the children. And so you're genetically coding the children to express traits that you were repressing and not seeing initially during the infatuation. So it's forcing you. That's why you're probably, when the kids get to be teenagers, oh, you're just like your mother. Oh, you're just like your father. Because they're designed to express the traits that you had repressed in your awareness when you made love, to make sure you learn how to love the whole picture, not just half of it. Not run by an animal, but run by the angelic part of your nature, which is loving both sides. We want to be loved for both sides, our hero, our villain, our saint, our sinner, our virtues, our vices. We want to be loved for all of it. And to think that we're going to be one side in order to get loved is our attempt. And so we genetically code it into the family. That's why the family dynamics have a hidden order to them, to make sure we grow and learn how to love all parts.
Dr. DeMartini, you just said hidden order, which is the seventh strategy that we talked about. So will you speak a bit about that? Why is it so important to recognize that everything that's happening to us in the family system is actually on the way, not in the way?
Well, I'm sure that everybody here has had moments in their life where they found that, where they got a little bit self-righteous, got puffed up, inflated, cocky, you know, a superiority complex, and then attracted humbling circumstances, pride before the fall. Or maybe you beat yourself up and down and people lifted you up, and kind of humility before the rise. And nature is attempting to get us into equilibrium. And our physiology is trying to do it with our symptoms. On another webinar that I did, I talked about how our physiology is guiding us to center ourselves, to be authentic, to embrace both sides of our nature, the supportive and challenging part, and to honor our true highest value, where we're objective, where we are able to embrace both sides. But our physiology is doing it. Our psychology is doing it. Our intuition is constantly trying to reveal to us the unconscious part that we're not seeing when we're infatuated or resentful. Our sociology is bringing in friends and enemies to criticize us or to support us, to get us to be authentic. And our events in our life, if we get really cocky, many times we have tragic events to humble us, or if we get really down, we get comedy to lift us up. Our events in life are trying to do that. The family dynamic is designed to maximize authenticity. And the purpose of marriage is not happiness. The purpose of marriage is to teach people how to be authentic and to actually help them maximize the fulfillment of their values and my highest values. And so sometimes we need challenge. In fact, the challenges in our life is what's necessary for us to go back to our highest value and to go and live by our highest value. When you have a young boy who loves video games and he's doing something that's really high in his values, he loves video games, he doesn't shrink from challenge. He tackles that video game. And the second he conquers it, he goes, "Mom, I want to buy a more advanced game and take a bigger challenge." When children are doing something that's really valuable to them, they look forward to challenges. They don't shrink from them. And when we're doing something that's meaningful in our life, we embrace the challenges in our family dynamic. We know they're necessary. They keep us on our toes. They keep us accountable. They keep us innovating, keep us evolving. And if we get nothing but support, we stay stagnant. We get bored. Imagine if I came up to my spouse and I said, "I just want to be everything you want me to be, whenever you want me to be, every time you want me to be. I just want to please you every moment of the day. I whatever you want, I just want to do whatever it is." You get bored. You'd say, "Go get a life. Stand up your own 2 feet. You know, don't be a doormat." But if I told you, "Damn it, do what I tell you," every time, you get also burned out. You need both support and challenge to grow. And the family has got a hidden order. Everything that's going on is trying to get you into authenticity where you get both. If you really open up your eyes, in the breakthrough experience, I help people see when one of their children is challenging the hell out of them, maybe at work they're getting supported, or maybe another person in the family is playing the other side, the husband supporting. And then you go, oh my God, I noticed that the child is now giving me a hard time, but my husband's really getting compliant right now. I didn't think about that. I have in the breakthrough experience, I have an exercise in column 6 and 13 of the DeMartini method where you actually have to look at every time somebody is challenging your values, who's supporting it? And every time somebody's supporting it, who's challenging it? And to help you see both sides. That is so profound when you get that and realize that. You realize that, my God, the two of those are what make love. Love is the synthesis and synchronicity of these opposites. And when you see both of those at the same time, you all of a sudden, instead of being emotionally reactive and trying to get only one side, you finally realize, there's a hidden order here. Now I understand why my child is challenging me right now, because my husband's compliant, doing everything I want. And now all of a sudden, my husband's now giving me a hard time, and my two children are really easy to get along with. And now all of a sudden at work, they're really challenging me. And now my whole family's joining me. And now all of a sudden my child over here is really giving me a hard time. And my other children are just doing everything I ever wanted. And when you're able to see both the support and the challenge, which makes you grow, and you see the hidden order, instead of aging as a parent and feel like you're aging and driving yourself mad and losing your hair over it, you see the hidden order and you go, my God, it's all in order. It's working. And now I realize that they're all doing things according to their values. I'm participating in my values. I'm making sure I'm growing. They're all getting a balance of opposites. Because now that when my daughter's supporting me and my husband's challenging me, my other son is challenging my daughter and my dad's supporting that daughter. And I'm seeing this whole thing working. And the mastery of that, I'm telling you, is a gold mine. And when I teach people that in the breakthrough experience, their mind is blown and they realize, wow, maybe there wasn't a dysfunctional family after all. Maybe I had a fantasy about how the family's supposed to look, and it didn't match that, and I thought it was dysfunctional. Maybe there's a hidden order in it. I wrote a book called Function or Dysfunction, Your Choice, many years ago, in response to John Bradshaw's Dysfunctional Family. And I tried to show that there's a hidden order in it. And that's why learning about values and learning the DeMartini method particularly, and learning how to get the synchronicity mastered, these are all incredible components to, if you want to have an order in the family and see the magnificence of the family. There is a loving family. Nobody misses it. It's just in a different form. Sometimes the mother and father, maybe the father's gone and all of a sudden other people play the father's role. The mother's gone and out shopping and all of a sudden the doll becomes the mother. When you're able to see that nothing's missing and it's just changing form and it's morphing and you're adaptable to that, you have a loving family and nothing's missing. It's mind-blowing to be able to liberate yourself from all the boxes and idealisms and fantasies about how it's supposed to be and appreciate the way it is. And then learning the art of communicating. These make a huge difference in family dynamics.
Dr. DeMartini, I know you travel extensively and you present the breakthrough experience almost every weekend, it seems like. And we've been talking about it a bit on this interview and you've been referencing it. What do you feel is the number one reason why a parent might consider attending the Breakthrough Advantage? What's the advantage that a parent would get from attending the Breakthrough Experience?
Sanity.
Sanity. Can I just say yes, since I attended the Breakthrough Experience? Yes.
One lady said to me, I feel like I've just failed everything as a mother. I feel like I've done this. I got to share this. I was sitting in the Breakthrough Experience. No, I was at the DeMartini Method training program many years ago. And there were two women there. And this woman got a call from the police department. They said, we have your son here at the police department. He's been caught with marijuana. He stole a car and he was not in school. And when she got that, she was shocked. And he was a teenager. He was, I think, 16. And she literally put her hands in her head and she leaned over there and started bawling and crying. And she said, she started saying, I should have been there more for him. I should have done this. I should have done this. I should have done this. And this lady that was sitting right next to her, her name was Pat. And Pat went over and slapped her across the back and said, stop it. Stop this little whiny baby stuff. And says, my son, 2 months ago, got caught stealing a car, got caught with pot, and was out of school. And I did the exact opposite of what you did. I was there every single day. I didn't work. I was totally there with the child. I was doing this and everything else. And I thought I should have worked. I should have I thought what you did was what I should have done. And I said, and I said to him, I said, are you both of you over this thing? And now what's interesting is later on, that son now has an IT company. He's doing extremely well. He owns the cars he stole. He bought them now free and clear. He's a millionaire today. He's done extremely well. And they were all bent out of shape and worried about all the stuff going on. And we sometimes get caught in this chaos instead of trying to figure out what's actually going on. And what was really going on is the child was unengaged in school, uninspired by the classes, had values that he wanted to do. Cars was one of it, okay? And cell phones and socializing with another. And socializing, he was a little awkward and he used pot to come out a little bit, be more outgoing and social. If we know what his values are, those symptoms don't have to arise. If we care enough to communicate those values and help him fulfill what those higher values are, those things are not likely. Now, he passed through that stage, which most teenagers have the Paleolithic period, I call it, and they'll come out on the other end of it. And then the process of doing that, they'll go out and find out what their values are and visions are and start to live accordingly. But all I know is that there's this in the breakthrough experience, I teach people how, and I show them how, and I make them do it. It's an experiential. It's not just theory. It's theory. It's experience of how to take, no matter what you've been through, and to see the hidden order in it and use it to your advantage and to be able to do something amazing with it. It's not what you've experienced. It's what you perceive, what you decide, and what you do with it. In the breakthrough experience, I show people how to take whatever they've been through in their life and turn it to on the way, not in the way, as an opportunity, not a challenge. And I show people how to identify what their values are, how to communicate people's values, how to put realistic expectations on themselves and other people, how to articulate in a way where they can get their values met. And if you're a parent, that's goldmine. There's no way. If a person will come to the breakthrough experience and learn the DeMartini method and do the method on their spouse every quarter and do it on their children, I can guarantee their lives change. Guarantee that family dynamics, huge shift in the family dynamic. Because people want to be loved and appreciated for who they are. The DeMartini method, the breakthrough experience that I teach you, is going to make you appreciate them for who they are. And then you deserve to do it on yourself. Because a lot of people are beating themselves up and not appreciating and loving themselves because they've never done the method on themselves. And they're trying to live in other people's values. So if you want to transcend trying to live in other people's values, transcend trying to get other people to live in your values, and to appreciate yourself and the people you care about in the family and understand how it works and more effectively communicate with it and appreciate them and how to link values, which I didn't really get to emphasize. See, if you can't see how what your child is doing or what your spouse is doing is helping you fulfill what you value, you're going to want to fix them. You're going to want to change them. You're going to project onto them because it's challenging you. But if you can see and ask the question, which we do in the breakthrough experience, how specifically is what they're doing helping you fulfill what you're inspired by, you'll communicate with them with respect and caringly. And there's no way a person can come to the breakthrough experience without having an upgrade in their communications and their relationship and in their family. And they're going to discover the hidden order in it. They're going to take a lot of pressure off themselves trying to fix it into the boxes. And it's not, as the Nobel Prize winner said, it's not that we don't know so much. We know so much that isn't so. And we've been taught so much bullshit about this, about idealisms, about how to put people into boxes and how they're supposed to be. And therapists love that sometimes, putting people in boxes. But the reality is that they're actually there to be loved for who they are. And a lot of the things that people do are actually perfectly normal, but they're not appreciated for that normality. So the breakthrough experience can help you appreciate you, your family, and your life. You know, when I've had people in the breakthrough experience we've had people that have had difficulties communicating with their parents, all different ages. I've seen people bitter, frustrated, I think 35 years, 42 years, bitter and stuff like that, and blocking their communication and love for their parents. I've seen that. I've also seen parents really, really challenged by the children. And this is not absolutely essential to do this. In the breakthrough experience, I can show people how to do the DeMartini method and dissolve the baggage that's sitting there. And I'm telling you that what I've seen of people who have, I had a couple this weekend that were, they're on the blink on their relationship. And if they just did the DeMartini method, they just did that and they communicated and they had their arms around each other on Sunday and they had a completely different thing because they now understood realistically what was to expect in a relationship. And they had false ideals. They had projected unrealistic expectations. They were not communicating in values. They were not even knowing values. And they had these idealisms that they'd got from society, and that's not real. And it's wiser to get real and appreciate people for who they are. And that's why I tell people to do the breakthrough. That's why I do it 40 something times a year around the world, because I've been doing it for nearly three decades, because it makes a difference in people's lives. And so I'm emphasizing that, particularly if you're a parent, because it doesn't matter. I've been in situations where I've seen parents get pregnant. They weren't expecting it. They were expecting, well, maybe in a couple of years I'll get pregnant. They get pregnant. They're having internal conflict about it. They're not really sure if whether or not what they're experiencing is really what they want. They're having second thoughts about it, but they're moving forward on it. And they're getting caught by moral issues about how society is expecting parents, et cetera. And they're having to sift through that. And in the breakthrough experience, I show them how to get clear about what's inspiring to them and what's true for them. Because a lot of people are making decisions based on subconscious baggage from the past, authorities around them, and then they end up having internal conflicts. And then the kids are growing up feeling this from the parents, and the parents are subconsciously reacting to the kids without even knowing they're doing this. And it's affecting the dynamic. And it's all because of this baggage that's accumulated. And I love dissolving that, just methodically, like a science, methoding that so that way people can to have love and appreciation in the family. They can appreciate the kids. And sometimes that's the biggest story I can think of is a person that was 52 years old, that the mother and father got pregnant, and they thought because of their religion that they needed to keep the child, and they got married, and they didn't really want to be married, but they did it for 52 years. And the daughter was looking for a mommy daddy figure all those years, and was a huge woman, like 500, 400 pounds or something. And she was looking for mommy and daddy figures, and they just didn't understand how to communicate their love and appreciation. They felt trapped. And I helped them break through all that. And both the parents had cancer. And I'd have a hard time believing that that had, you know, nothing to do with it. I think that those are part of the factors that lead to some of these illnesses. And so in the breakthrough experience, I methodically show you a science, a tool that you can use the rest of your life to help you dissolve all the emotional baggage that you accumulate that holds you back from doing something extraordinary with your own life, particularly in the relationship dynamic world. And your relationship with yourself is no different. If you're not able to love and appreciate yourself, and you're expecting yourself to live outside your values, live one-sided, and then you end up upset about it, and then that's even more difficult to be in a relationship, because then they're reminding you of what you're doing inside, and you take it out on them. And all this baggage stuff, I think that it's wiser to just learn how human behavior works, use it to your advantage, to help yourself in communication, and to fulfill your life. It's your life. Your life's going to go by quick. I'm going on 64. Life goes by really quick. And if you're not fulfilled in your life, Bonnie Ware said that there's major regrets into most people's lives about their job, about the way they dealt with loved ones. And there's no reason to have those. All of those regrets that people have later in life are all solvable, and they're all trainable. But you just got to make sure you learn what about human behavior as it really is, not the fantasies that people keep selling to you. There's a whole lot of fantasies I see about how you're supposed to be this and supposed to be that way, and how to do this in a relationship, and then people don't live by it. I just got through consulting with somebody about that just literally recently, about how you're supposed to be instead of how you are. And you can't live by supposed to's. You have to live by what's true. And that way you automatically live as a leader in your own field, and you get to empower. I'm a firm believer that you can empower all areas of life. I've done it in my own life. And I didn't start out that way. I started out, you know, living on the street. So I know you can do it, and people can do amazing things in their life. And people who are parents, people that are children, people that have loved ones, there are tools, I'm absolutely certain, that can help in the communication and the mastery of the family dynamic and parenting.
Dr. DeMartini, this has been just an incredible amount of information. And I imagine we have some listeners that are curious about the breakthrough experience. And I had mentioned at the very beginning that we would be doing a special offer. So I'd love to share that. So for those of you that are interested, it is a 10% discount off the current price of the breakthrough experience. Plus, what I think is super cool, a gift, which is $400 towards his online course, Inspired Destiny, which is also an absolutely amazing program. Dr. DeMartini, I don't know if you want to say anything about Inspired Destiny. It was also one of my favorite courses and books that I've been able to get my hands on of yours.
Yeah, well, that's basically a very practical initial series of step-by-step things you can do to literally live the destiny you feel you would love to do. Most people are letting the world on the outside dictate their destiny. And I believe that you can let the voice and the vision on the inside and your own commands direct it. In the Breakthrough Experience, I teach people how to take command and prioritize their life and delegate lower priority things and get on with the most meaningful things. Because if you don't fill your day with high priority actions, it's going to fill up with low priority distractions. So it's important to fill your day with that. And if you fill your day with truly high priority actions that inspire you, you move in the direction of an inspired destiny. So that program is the steps to do that. And all those really practical things you can do to dissolve all the stuff that interferes with that, including learning how to delegate, including learning how to communicate. So it's a perfect dovetailing supplement to the Breakthrough Experience. And that's why we put it together, because it gives people, because sometimes people don't get to come to Breakthroughs for weeks or months after they sign up. And this is a perfect way of getting engaged in some of the material now so you can start making the results. So when you come to the Breakthrough, you get the most out of the Breakthrough, and you also get a bang out of the buck in advance. It's a special offer that I throw in there to make sure that people can get more, so they get to fulfill their lives more. That's, you know, Zig Ziglar taught me when I was 20, if you help other people get what they want to get in life, I get what I want to get in life. I love doing what I do. I love helping people do what they love doing. And I believe that if you don't decide in your life, other people are going to decide for you. If you don't empower all areas of your life, other people are going to overpower you. And this program helps you do that. And the Breakthrough Experience is designed to make you do it. It's 26 hours with me. It's full on the Breakthrough Experience. And we go to work. It's not just a rah-rah sitting up and chanting on chairs and stuff like that. If you want that stuff, I'm not the guy. But if you want to go to work and you want to learn the tools that you will use for the rest of your life on how to master your life and how to empower your communication and your career path and your life path and how to love again yourself and other people, come to the Breakthrough Experience. I'm absolutely certain you're going to learn something there you won't learn anywhere else. My work's original work, and I'm absolutely certain it's going to make a difference.
Absolutely. Empowering ourselves as parents so that we can turn around and teach our kids how to live empowered lives is so important. Dr. DiMartini, as we are summarizing here, there was a request to repeat the seven skills. And so I'm going to repeat that because it just blends in nicely with what we're talking about, because all of this is also what someone would learn at the Breakthrough Experience. So just to recap, really important to understand how family members' values emerge and come into existence. Really important to understand the family dynamic itself, how to identify and honor what's really important to each member of the family, how to learn the art of communication so that you can get what you want and you can help other people get what they want, setting realistic expectations on self and others, learning how our perceptions give rise to our emotions and how by managing our perceptions, we can manage any emotion, pretty important as a parent. Learning how to see the hidden order so we can see everything that happens in our lives and our children's lives and the family system as a whole, that it's all on the way. It's not in the way.
Well, those are it. And you said something really important, and I just want to emphasize that Albert Einstein said the greatest teacher is exemplification. As an adult, if you care about your kids, you're going to want to master your life because you're going to give them permission to do the same. But if you don't, you can't expect them to do something. That's like a CEO expecting the people below to not, to the CEO not doing their accountability is expecting people below to do it. When the parent is learning how to master life and become an inspired, destined individual and breaking through their limitations and living congruently, children automatically watch it, see it, and they don't allow themselves to not go after what they love. They automatically give themselves permission to do it. That's the value.
Absolutely.
We come to Breakthrough. If you haven't been to Breakthrough, come, because you're going to learn something there. I'm absolutely certain you're not going to learn anywhere else. I ask people at the end of the program each week, how many of you learned something this weekend you could have gone your whole life and probably never, ever learned? Every hand goes up. That's automatic.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Dr. DiMartini Show. To determine and discover your values, head over to drdimartini.com, where you will also find blogs, videos, research materials, online courses, and exactly how you can sign up to become part of the Breakthrough Experience in your local city. Thanks for tuning in. If you would love to follow Dr. DiMartini on any of his social media platforms, You can do so by searching for Dr. John DeMartini. We look